You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Hello, hello, you're listening to Fan Club. This is CITR 101.9 FM. I did that backwards, but it's okay. And we are your hosts, Isia and Daniel.
Daniel, yes, me. We're good.
Yep.
We're awesome.
This week, we have our usual weekly Succession coverage / review.
Yes.
As well as a kind of flashback to pieces of media that we really enjoyed as children, and kind of our analysis of whether those things hold up for us. In my case, it's going to be the Narnia trilogy, the movies, and
yes.
Daniel's going to be talking about That's So Raven.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, you know what time it is.
It's Succession time. I wish I had the theme song like ready to go. So I could, because that score, before we get to the episode, I just have to say, like, the music is so iconic. I feel like especially this season, like, Nicholas is just going crazy with like the different variations of the Succession theme.
Yeah, it's pretty catchy. I watched Succession with my partner, and they hate the theme song.
I don't understand.
Especially
that.
The like 808s. They're like, "Ugh, why are there 808s in this?" So no, we always have to
so
skip
good.
The
canon wrong.
But it's okay. It's like etched into my brain, so I don't even need to watch the title sequence anymore.
Yeah.
But yeah, you said earlier you think this is the best episode of the season.
Yes, or at least my favorite episode of the season. Mm-hmm. It was just like I felt. Like, it was just the culmination of everything, like, the show has been leading up to, apart from, like, the actual Succession part. And I feel like, apart from the actual Succession, but just, like, I don't know. I feel like the funeral just absolutely, like, stripped everybody of, like, any kind of masks that they were wearing. And, like, Shiv dropped a ton of bombs, and she kind of gave her very, like, honest eulogy. And, like, we kind of saw Kendall as, like, who he is, which is, I think he's, like, the most like his father, at least in, like, the bad ways.
Yeah.
And then Roman was revealed to be, like, a little baby. And then, yeah, I just loved how the eulogies were, as one of the articles I was reading put it, like, negotiated the legacy of Logan Roy.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was really well done.
How about his brothers? The best eulogy of all.
Yeah.
Ewan. Canadian King.
Is he Canadian?
Well, he lives in Canada.
Oh, and fun fact about the actor, which is kind of sad, but like it's a cool fact. The actor has like long COVID.
Oh, no.
So I was like listening to an interview with him, and he was saying like he was like so worried like they were going to cut his part or like he wasn't going to be able to do it because he like couldn't remember the speech.
Oh.
So it was like really hard for him to remember, and he delivered it like so well. Like that's some of the best acting I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's awful.
Yeah.
Another fun fact. You know how there was the gaggle of Logan's past lovers? The one that was, you know, the fourth one that you didn't
Sally
recognize?
Ann or whatever.
Yeah, that's Brian Cox's
wife.
Yeah. Yeah. She made a little cameo. So that was
cute. I loved
cute.
That. Yeah.
That was one of the, like, I love that moment.
When Marcia kind of like puts her hand on Carrie's or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. They all were just like, we all
really
married
sweet.
That silly, silly man.
Yeah. Always used to grind his teeth in his sleep or something. Yeah, that was sweet.
What were the highlights of the show for you? This episode of the show.
Okay. The whole like back half or like back third with like the three back-to-back absolute like heaters of eulogies. Like that was insane. I couldn't even believe what I was watching. And then the ending where Kendall's kind of like to Roman, like, oh, you messed up. Like,
yeah.
You're a mess, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes and, like, dive bombs into, like, the protesters and gets, like, punched in the face and stuff.
Roman is
that
such
was
a
insane.
Sad weenie baby, as I say this every week, but he really is.
Yeah. What were your highlights?
Obviously, yeah, the eulogies were great. Loved Ewan's in terms of, like, that's facts.
Yeah. And we didn't know about the sister. Like, we knew, like, something had happened with, like, their younger sister, but I think this was the first we, like, for sure found out what happened.
Right? Yeah, so it was, like, the first, like, we don't know anything about Logan's childhood, really.
Yeah.
So it was, like, a little peek into that, and I think Ewan, like, really humanized him in his speech, which is what made Roman kind of freak out, like, I think, because Roman had this, you know, perfect, like, the world's image of Logan and, like, what he's supposed to be speech prepared. And, like, yeah. Ewan just completely wrecked any chance of that. And I feel like their speeches really reflected their relationships, too. Like, Shiv has always been, like, the baby and, like, had the most... It seemed like she had the most, like, personal relationship with Logan. But she wanted to be taken more seriously as, like, a businesswoman. Yeah. And Kendall's kind of the opposite. Obviously, he seeks his dad validation a lot in business-wise, but I think he also, like, wanted him to like him and, like, be his dad, and Logan didn't really give him that.
Yeah.
And his speech was very much just about, like, the giant that Logan is in the world.
Yeah.
So I thought those were really well done and really well written. And ain't no way Mattson's picking Shiv as his U.S. CEO.
No. I think that was obvious as soon as he said, like, I can make a U.S. CEO work. But yeah. He didn't say, like, Shiv, I can yeah. make you work as a CEO.
Also, the people who think it's going to be Greg, get a grip.
Please.
Get a grip.
Like, please, yeah.
Be real.
They like, need to no actually, way. They need to get it together. Like, I think the succession writers deserve a bit more respect for that.
It's so silly.
I could see it being, there's people been saying they think it's going to be Tom, which I can kind of see.
Yeah, that'd be kind of like an epic, I'd like that ending. The grifter,
yeah,
the social climber, he climbed.
The social climber.
He made it. Yeah, Shiv telling everyone she was pregnant. Idiot move.
Yeah.
Because everyone is not going to take this pregnant lady seriously.
No. What did you think of Roman's reaction to that?
Roman is...
He was on his biggest disgusting behavior.
Yeah, he's just gross as usual. Yeah. I think watching this episode, like, because Ken and I were talking about just Kendall, and I'm like, I just don't know any other character. Like, I don't know any other characters like Kendall. I don't know any Kendalls in real life, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like, I know Shiv's, like, obviously on a smaller, less powerful scale. Mm-hmm. I feel like I know people like Roman, but, like, Kendall is just this weird little... bad unicorn. I don't know. He's just, I'm gonna miss him and
yeah,
his brain
me too.
And his weird, sad brain on TV.
What did you think of his little freak out at Rava at the beginning of the episode?
He's an idiot. And yeah, I feel like when Shiv was like, Logan was hard on women, and then it like panned to
Jerry.
Or it didn't pan. It was just like to Jerry and then also Kendall. Because
yeah.
Kendall ruined his relationship with Rava and his kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then also Jess. That episode.
Yeah, what did we, how do we feel about Jess? Bless her.
I loved it. I'm like, yeah, her moment. Shout out
yes.
to this actress. And like, yeah, his.
He was so brutal to her. She was like, I don't want to do this right now. Let's
she's
do it.
His whole support system. It's
yeah.
like, she's all he has. And she's an employee. So she can quit anytime she wants. Which I don't think he like realized. Because
yeah.
whenever anything goes wrong, he calls Jess and is like, this. And I think he's like, I'm such a fixer. But it's really, he just tells Jess to fix things.
Yeah.
Now his fixer is gone.
But what did you think about his little maneuvering after the funeral where he, like, goes and talks to, like, Logan's old bodyguard and is like, come work for me. Stop going to therapy. Come do something
Yeah, what
real.
Was that? It's like, don't talk to a therapist. Just talk to me.
Yeah, talk to me. He goes to, what was it? He goes to, like, Frank or...
No,
or
he
Carl.
Hugo.
Or Hugo, yeah.
And he's like, you're my dog. Woof, woof.
That was like, I mean...
I
okay,
love
well, I was
Hugo.
Yeah.
Hugo's one of my favorite characters. He's so funny.
So funny. And while I was watching that, I was just like, that's such an insane thing to say to somebody. Like, if you
man.
Really think about it. Yeah, it's the same thing to say to, like, a grown, like, 50-plus-year-old man to be like, come and, like, be by my side, but we're not going to be equals. Like, you're going to be my dog. You're going to get the scraps, but the scraps will be, like,
millions.
And I'm like, that's literally so insane to say to someone. And then Hugo is like, woof, woof, after. And I'm like, none of these people are okay. None of these people are all right
nope.
in the head.
I get Hugo, though. Like, yeah, just be that guy. I don't know. Why
yeah.
are all these people so, like... Obviously, he's ambitious. He's, like, a... head guy at a multi-billionaire company, but I feel like just ride the wave. Why is everyone trying to fight the waves? If I was someone in that position, I'd just be like,
sure.
I'd do a Jerry. I'd be like, oh, you're kicking me out. I'm going to sue you.
Yeah.
Or threaten you. She's not even suing. She's threatening. I love Jerry. She looked beautiful this episode, as she always
really
does.
Good. Shout out Jay Smith, Cameron.
Great, 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 great actress.
Yeah, queen.
Great character. Love her. She's my Shiv. You know what the Shiv for are, like, what Shiv is for a lot of the girlies is what
Jerry
is. She's actually what the people think Shiv is.
Where do you see Jerry? Sorry, go ahead. Finish your Jerry.
I think she's, I mean, she's, I don't know. Like, she's fired, she quit, but she's there. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think she's going to get out. Like, why would you want to work with these children?
Unserious people.
Oh, yeah, they're unserious people. Yeah.
What do we think is happening next week? Apparently, it's like 90 minutes.
I think either they're all going to flop, or Kendall maybe will find a way to come out on top.
Okay.
But it's Kendall or, like, someone else. I don't think Roman nor Shiv are doing the thing, because
Roman fumbled.
Roman is in denial, and Shiv is too confident.
Yeah.
And constantly be flopping.
Separating the characters, what do we think of, like, the performances? Because I feel like Kieran Culkin as Roman in this episode, like, especially when he just, like, breaks down and cannot, like, just turns into, like, a little baby as soon as he gets up there, was like, that's going in the Emmy reel, like, for sure.
Yeah, I feel like, because I heard that him, Brian Cox, and Jeremy Strong are all being submitted into lead actor, so
dumb
are either they're gonna, like, split the vote or, like, somewhat, like, I don't know. I just wish we could spread the love a bit.
Yeah.
Put Brian in supporting, but he's not. I know Logan's not a supported character. I don't know.
Put him in, like, supporting or guest if he really wants an Emmy. Like, I don't think he's winning. He's not winning an Emmy.
Like, who knows, though? Sarah Snook, though.
I think Sarah will sweep.
I feel like she's taking it. She's so good. Like,
and she's not even, like, American.
I know, she's Australian. Do you see that one tweet that was, like, she was fighting for her life when she said, oh, what sentence did she said? She said something, like, very American.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, she was fighting for her life saying that in an American accent. It was like, oh, I wish I could remember. I'll find it and see something about it.
I think
maybe
after the break
or something, but
I think I saw a similar meme when it's, like, the balcony scene from a couple episodes ago of, like, her and Tom fighting.
Yeah.
And both of them let, like, a little bit of their
accent.
British and
Australian
slip out a bit. And I was like, and so the meme was like, they were fighting for their lives also, or they're just really struggling, which is fair.
No, but Tom, I guess he could go in supporting.
McFadden.
Yeah, Fadian.
Fadian.
Love him. I love how, like, to the people of the world, he is Tom Lomsgams or he's Mr. Darcy. And, like,
nothing.
This is such an interesting, like, I don't know. Funny two characters to be known for, but, like, a great selection. Good for him and his career.
Most actors don't have more than, like, one, if any, iconic character they're known for.
So he's killing it.
Yeah.
I wish there was more Marsha this season. I just love that actress. I really like her.
Chaim Abbas or Abbas?
I don't know her name.
She's awesome. She's so good. I love her in Rami.
Me too. She's my favorite character in Rami. She's so funny.
Yeah.
Just, like, all around great acting, amazing, stunning writing.
The production too.
Yeah,
like,
the cinematography.
Design.
Like, when it's, like, randomly handheld or, like, they just be zooming. I'm like, oh my gosh.
And it's
so
shot
good.
On film.
It is?
Yeah, it's shot on film.
I didn't know that. Nice. Mm-hmm. Just all around success of a show. I have no idea how they're going to wrap it up in an hour and a half, but I'm happy to have been on this ride as it was happening.
I feel like this episode, it simultaneously, like, made me think, like, oh, Succession is ending. Like, the show is ending. And then I was also like, oh, I could see how, like, they weren't entirely sure if it was going to end or not. Because I feel like you could make a whole other, like, season or two if you really wanted to drag it out based on, like, everything that's been going on. But I'm very glad that they're ending it, like, next week.
It could go forever, but, like, they shouldn't. I feel like you got to end on a high. And this was, like, definitely since, you know, I feel like because the first two seasons it was all about, or at least the first season. I can't remember because it's been a while since I watched it. It was like all about Kendall.
Yeah.
And then the last two seasons have like kind of shifted to all three of the siblings, main siblings. Sorry, Connor. Yeah. Connor Erasure. the big three siblings kind of having this like power battle in between them.
For the better, I think. I think the show is at its best right now.
And I think this season has done it a lot better than the third season. I don't know, just third season, I wasn't buying it with anyone else. Not buying it, but I was just like, oh, it's Kendall, duh. Yeah. But this season, I'm really like, I had like a tiny moment for Roman, died quickly. And then I have had a bigger moment for Shiv. And then Kendall as always. So.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like this season, especially in season three, kind of like spread out the focus a little bit. And I do think this show, like, I mean, obviously it's like recency bias, but I think it's gotten like better as it's gone along. Like, it's almost like the characters and like the understanding of the characters have like marinated better. Like, you know how sometimes like pasta's better the next day?
I feel
like
pasta. It's kind of,
yes. It's you. You'd have to have pasta made by my mom and then you would get it. But
I was going to say like stews and like curries, those are better.
Okay, stew, soup, curry.
But I don't know about pasta.
Tabbouleh, like something that is better like over time.
Tabbouleh?
I don't know.
I'm sorry. Every episode, Daniel pronounces something funny and I make fun of him.
You should get like a jar or something. I'm so sorry. I can put a dollar in every time I say something wrong. But anyway.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I feel like the show has gotten better over time, which may be my bias speaking, but I feel like the writing and like understanding of the characters has just gotten like more complex, which has made it more enjoyable for me.
I think I haven't, well, I need to rewatch it because I haven't seen the first two seasons in ages, but I feel like I think they're just different shows. I feel like if I would guess, it would be like, I really like season one, and I really like season four, and then definitely like season three less than both. Maybe three is my
lowest,
maybe. But also, there's great, I don't know. Just like, I just think the season did the trio thing.
Yeah. So like, is this really your favorite good season so far?
I like it more than season three. That's all I can say.
I would agree. I feel like.
But I don't know about one and two because I just can't remember.
I think season two may be my favorite, and then season one may be, like, my least favorite.
Really?
Just because I remember, yeah, I feel like just because I remember, like, when I started watching Succession, it was when, like, season two had just ended or was, yeah, like, about to end. So I watched, like, season one, and watching it, I wasn't, like, I was entertained, but I was like, oh, I feel like it definitely kind of has, like, a slow burn, and it doesn't really, like, pick up until Logan, like, kind of is back in action in season one, and then season two like kicks it up a notch, and then it has like the crazy cliffhanger at the end too. So I feel like for me it'd go like right now, I mean, it's season four because of recency bias, and then maybe two, then three, then one, I would say.
I see.
Yeah.
Do you have any more thoughts about this episode?
Not really. How do you want the show to end? Like,
I don't care. Anything they do is interesting.
We'll be
I
good.
Don't know. At this point, I'm just like, as long as it's not Greg, which it won't be because that's dumb.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of feeling the Tom Wamsgams CEO.
Yeah, Waystar I can feel the Tom thing. What do you think about people saying like, oh, this is one of the best shows ever made?
I don't know. I haven't seen a lot of, yeah, I haven't seen The Sopranos. I haven't watched The Wire. So
yeah, me neither.
I'm lacking in classic the great shows. It's definitely like one of my favorite shows, but I don't know, maybe if it's like genre and kind of the space that it takes.
Yeah,
like how do you compare like a HBO 1 hour like business drama, family drama, to like an anime or to like
Parks and Rec or something?
Yeah, or like a, you know, like a Fleabag kind of show. I don't know.
Yeah, that's fair.
But it's definitely one of my favorite shows ever.
I would say the same.
Yeah, so that's my diplomatic answer.
Very diplomatic. Do you have any final thoughts? I'm thought it out.
Daniel's thought it out. You
I'm
heard
it
here.
It
nope. I'm happy to play some ads, and then we'll come back and talk about our childhood faves.
Sounds good.
Awesome.
May is Asian Heritage Month in Canada. And this year, the Vancouver Asian Heritage Month Society and its signature event, the Exploration Festival, is celebrating its 27th anniversary. Exploration Festival is a month-long celebration that brings together all of the Pan-Asian Canadian artists throughout the Lower Mainland, including visual, art, poetry, dance, and music. Find all of the events and exhibitions in the online program guide, which you can download at exploration.org to learn more about what's happening in your community this Asian Heritage Month.
Welcome. Ani and Steve Joaquin.
Do tamse. Ichuao. Iswayao.
Ahlo sahla.
I'm at Skype.
Bienvenido.
Una ti.
Yek tunal. Tah taitan.
You were invited to volunteer for Swissessism Garden. Get away from the rat race. Get back to the land. Heal. Reconnect with yourself. Touch grass. Find a quiet place among the plants and find a quiet place inside yourself. Check us out on Facebook at Indigenous Garden UBC Farm or visit the Swissessism Indigenous Garden located at UBC Farm just off of Ross Road.
Hello, hello. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is Fan Club with Daniel.
And Isia.
And we are talking about some of our childhood faves and
yes,
whether they hold up or not in our medium age. I don't know.
Yeah. No,
we're not even
good.
Medium. Young adult age. Young adults are those teenagers? It's a young adult to a teenager?
I'd say youth is teenagers and we're like young adults. Because we're adults, but you know.
But we're young.
We're
anyways,
young. Yeah.
But Daniel, what is your review?
So first of all, it was kind of difficult for me to decide which show I was going to revisit. I originally wanted to do like Phineas and Ferb, but I feel like I talked about that a lot in like our animation episode. So I was like, hey, let me look for like a live action show I really enjoyed. And I chose That's So Raven. And I feel like overall, I really like That's So Raven and enjoyed That's So Raven. Because for some reason, I'm probably not fully correct, but I feel like Disney Channel weirdly used to be like more like progressive and bold and edgy than it is now. Yeah. What do you think?
I feel we could probably do like a whole discussion on this, but I feel like, you know, in the 90s, just in general, like, sitcoms and like Disney Channel was just a lot more diverse.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, like Raven as a example, like was about a black family and she wasn't like super skinny, and like the Cheetah Girls were really diverse and like that whole thing. And then when we were kids, it was just all like variations of like skinny white brunette girls. Like,
yes.
And also sitcoms, I feel like, got super white.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a whole other thing. I don't know what happened in the early 2000s where they were like,
yeah,
nope.
I don't know what happened. And like with That's a Raven, like it focused on a black family, but like them being black wasn't like it was definitely like imbued into the characters. Like they're very like real like black characters, but it wasn't like the type of show that was like talking about black issues or anything like in every episode necessarily.
Yeah.
So it was a very like realistic depiction of like a black family in like a sitcom bubble, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and there were episodes that like about racism on like Disney Channel, which like maybe now it would happen, but also would be faced with a lot of backlash. Like people would be like, they're indoctrinated our kids with CRT, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
Pretty different.
And I feel like the two episodes I watched had like actual like life lessons where I feel like when I was done watching it, I was like, like that's a good lesson. And I don't know if like shows that were like newer that I watched on Disney Channel or now can have the same thing.
What were the episodes?
So the first episode I watched Let me see if I can pull up the name really quickly. But it was essentially where, like, there's some kind of... It was a little convoluted or a little silly, and I think they knew it was silly. But basically, there's, like, an electrical, like, shock or something. And, like, somehow Eddie, like, the friend of Raven,
mm-hmm.
gets, like, psychic powers for, like, a week. But he could, like, do it on demand, like, whenever he wants to. And what was it called? It was called He's Got the Power. And essentially, he, like, Raven, like, warns him. And she's kind of like, oh, like, you shouldn't, like, put yourself in a position to kind of be, like, exploited by your identity. Like, it's going to go wrong if you don't, like, match up to the expectations of, like, what people want from you. And wow. He's like, nah, like, it's making me, like, popular right now, blah, blah, blah. So he does it, and it gets him, you know, like, interest from, like, a girl that he thinks is really cute. And it gets him, like, under the wing of the, like, top dog at the high school who is, like, super into, like, horse betting for some reason.
As a teenager, do they even let you gamble when you're a teenager?
Yeah, I have no idea, like, how the logistics of that, like, shook out. But yeah, the guy that, like, horse bets basically, like, gives Eddie some money. And because Eddie, like, successfully, like, predicts who's going to win, like, the race. And then the guy's like, okay, you need to, like, predict for me again. And Eddie's like, but that's gambling. Like, isn't that wrong? And then he loses his powers. And then he just, like, makes up a fake horse. Or he chooses a random horse, which is, like, the worst one. And then he gets in a little bit of trouble with, like, the high school, like, horse betting mafia. And then there's, like, this subplot where Corey has just been watching, like, the 70s, like, video, because Raven and Chelsea have been, like, practicing for, like, a 70s dance.
Yeah.
And then Corey just keeps, like, hitting on his, like, teachers, or, like, call it, like, giving them 70s insults. So his parents have to teach him to be, like, careful what you watch and, like, what you repeat, blah, blah, blah. And then it all culminates in them saving the day, like, saving Eddie, because Eddie's being threatened, and they all show up as, like, 70s era, like, cops, and be like, put your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care. And they, like, scare the scary high school mafia guy away. So it was, like, really funny and, like, wholesome. And it also had, like, a genuine, like, valuable lesson behind it. So I was like, oh, I would, like, watch this. And I feel like a lot of the jokes were, like, I don't know. I feel like some kids shows that I've seen that are more recent, the comedy is just, like, yelling or, like, weird words, like, stringed together. And this one kind of was more, like, generalized humor, if you know what I mean. Like, it was just, like, humor that, like, any age or, like, demographic could, like, find funny, which I thought was good. And then the second episode, similar vibes. It was about Raven going camping with Chelsea, because Chelsea was like, oh, I didn't invite you because I, like, didn't think you would like camping. And Raven's like, I like camping. And then she goes and she kind of makes it all about herself and, like, brings all these extravagant, like, electronics that, like, kind of takes away from the anti-tech, like, aspect of camping. And it, like, upsets Chelsea. And then they have a heart-to-heart about, like, sorry that I tried to, like, make your thing my thing. I should have been more accepting, blah, blah, blah. And then they make up.
How did you pick the episodes?
I just, like, looked at whatever I'd watched last and, like, went to the next one.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And then I just watched in order.
Okay.
But yeah, cool. It was good. Held up. I wish TV shows for kids were better, because I feel like they're hard to write.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I'm thinking of, like, episodes of shows that I watched, like Hannah Montana, and I'm like, what even happened? Like, those sound like very full and complex episodes.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it held up? It held up?
Yeah, it held up. It held up.
Nice.
Yeah. Tell me about... Sorry, I just got a message I'd been waiting for. So I got,
from your landlord?
Yeah, from my landlord. But yeah, that is not the theme of this episode. So why don't you tell us a little bit about Narnia?
Oh,
because you, I mean, you, like, dove in.
Yeah. I have a lot to say about Narnia, maybe too much, but that's okay.
No, we got 30 minutes.
We do. I'm going to play some ads and then we can come back to this uninterrupted.
Okay, sounds good.
Tired of Big Brother bookstores trying to sell you some billionaire's favorite book or Heather's top picks? Then you should check out Vancouver Books. Vancouver Books is a new online family-run bookstore. A portion of their profits go to First Nations reconciliation and environmental projects in British Columbia. They provide their customers with the most interesting books in fine arts, signed first editions, First Nations photography, fine ancient books, occult, and so much more. They also provide carbon-free delivery to anywhere in the Vancouver area. So go to www.vancouverbooks.ca to check out Vancouver Books today. That's www.vancouverbooks.ca.
Just a few words before I go to sleep. I feel like I'm gonna dream tonight. Big bad ones, you know? The kind you like.
There is a lot of music out there, but only some is strange enough for you. My name is B, and on SlimeWire, I do the work for you, picking out freaky tunes to rule your nighttime world. So check it out, every Wednesday at 10 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM.
Hello, hello. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is Fan Club with Isia and Daniel, and we are talking about our childhood faves. Yep. Daniel talked a little bit about That's So Raven and how it's held up as a good family show that teaches the youth good lessons.
That was a good summary of my rambling.
Thank you. Yeah. And my piece of media that I wanted to review was the Narnia movie trilogy. Not the books. I did read the books when I was a kid, but I don't have time to read them again.
Also, there's like a lot of books, right?
Yeah, there are many, and they're in a very different, they're kind of in a different order. There's a lot to say about this too, the adaptation of the Chronicle of Narnia books to the movies, and how they're kind of a really hard series of books to
adapt,
and that's kind of why Narnia flopped.
Mm-hmm.
After the first one. So the first one was a really big success. It made like $700 million or something.
Oh, my God.
I think. That may be wildly wrong, but it made a lot of money.
That's crazy.
And then the second one dropped off a lot. Mm. And then the third one was made by a completely different studio, I think. Yeah, the first two were made by Disney. The third one was made by Fox.
Yeah.
And I think they had a plan to do this whole reboot of, not a reboot, but like kind of bring it back alive with like, you know, some of the other stories in the Narnia trilogy or book series, but it fell through. So we just got Dawn Treader and then nothing else after that. If you watch all three, you'll notice that the budget's a bit lower for the third one.
Yeah. And you're right. The first one, box office, $745 million.
Big, big money.
Which is insane. But yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No problem. Do you remember the Narnia movies? Were you a fan?
Yeah, I was a fan. I remember the first one kind of like scared me a little bit because of the witch.
I'll talk about Tilda as the ice witch.
Yeah, she's my first interaction with like Tilda Swinton. And then I think my favorite one was the second one because I feel like the second one is like the closest out of the three to, you know, like an action, like war thriller kind of thing, at least from what I remember. And then the third one, I remember being like, it's not made by Disney anymore. Like, it's lost the touch. And I, like, didn't think it was as good. And that was kind of around the age when I was like, oh, movies can be, like, not perfect. But I think second one, my favorite. First, good. Third, I don't really remember much other than the boat and, like, the guy from We're the Millers.
He is so good in the third one.
Yeah.
I think that was his, like, first big thing. Mm-hmm. And everyone hates. I think the reason people, like, don't like Will Poulter is literally because of that role, because he was so good as that annoying little boy.
Really?
Like, people like him, but I feel like people are always like, oh, this kid's face annoys me.
Yeah,
and I think it's
fair.
Because of that movie. But now really everyone annoying. Thinks he's hot, so he's having a come up in the social, whatever.
The Marvelification of him.
Yeah. But yeah, a little review on the movies. So I watched all three. First one, which was the big hit. Thing I noticed is that the CGI is, like, so bad. I think, or the, not even, I don't know, it looks like just straight green screened for all the winter scenes. I feel like they didn't want to go somewhere cold. So, like, everything is fake. And then once it gets warm in the movie, it like looks a lot better.
Yeah.
Because I think they shot it in New Zealand.
Okay.
And I also noticed that I thought the acting wasn't that great.
In the third one? Or
in the first one.
Oh,
the first one.
Okay.
With the children, it was just a bit, I don't know, it was a bit silly. And as everyone always talks about, Edmund really sold out his whole family for a Turkish delight, which isn't even a good candy. Have you had it before?
No.
I thought it would be like the most amazing thing ever. I finally tasted it. I'm like, this is what he did all of this for. And it was also, you know, problems where, you know, his brother was always too hard on him and blah, blah, blah. I know there's emotional things too, but you know.
Yeah. What is a Turkish delight?
It's like a gelatinous kind of gelatiny thing and like powdered sugar. I don't know. It's not that good.
Oh, okay. I probably won't have it ever on account of the...
It's like old people candy.
Okay.
It's not... We grew up on that high fructose...
Yeah, we grew up on high chew like, and Skittles.
Like plastic deliciousness.
Yeah.
I don't think it appeals to us. I think it's more of an old... You know, it's set in World War II era.
Yeah.
So it's an old timey...
Oh, these look familiar. I've searched up a Turkish delight. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I thought it was a pastry.
No. It's like a... jelly kind of
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, okay.
Mr. Tumnus, great. James McAvoy's Mr. Tumnus in that movie, such a great performance. You really feel for that guy,
yeah.
goat guy.
He did good.
Tilda Swinton is so good as the Ice Witch. Like,
that's her like role for me where I was like, oh, I know her because of that.
She's so good. When she shows up to battle with Aslan's like mane around her neck, I was like, oh, she looks so good.
Mm-hmm.
Great performance. And yeah, overall, did not speak to me emotionally. Also, whenever they wield the knife, like the swords, they look so goofy. It's just so
is it
goofy
they're
to me.
Kids or like
I don't know. It's just like by the end of the movie, you're supposed to believe that like they are skilled swordsmen, and it just doesn't add up. Like, why would he not be able to do that or learn that so quickly?
Yeah,
and the way he holds it when he's threatening people is like so goofy. I forget. Can you Google their names? It's Lucy, Susan, Edmund. I forget the oldest brother.
This is still like the first one, right?
Yeah.
What's
the oldest brother's name again?
Jeez, it's something like, because the oldest one is what, like blonde or something?
Yeah, he's blonde. He's the High King.
Peter, Susan.
Okay. Yeah. So Peter's like really bad at acting to me also. And he's, like, one of the older ones, so I'm, like...
Which is crazy, because I feel like when you think of good actor, it's, like, British. Like, I feel like UK...
All English people?
Yeah, I just feel like the UK, like, breeds such good actors, so that's kind of crazy to me that, like, they couldn't find better, like...
He probably had the British look or something, I don't know. He was probably what they saw, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that movie... Not, I was like, this ain't very good. Like, to me as a kid, it was like Lord of the Rings level, like epic. Like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, the combat was serious and
real.
They played
in church a lot, I remember growing up.
Yeah, I was going to get to how Christian C.S. Lewis is. Like, I've always known this, but like, rewatching these movies, I was like, wow. Like, the last scene of the Dawn Treader is just honing in the Christianity of it all and ties it all together as like God.
Was the allegory like way more evident, like the allegorical aspects? Because I feel like they'd play it in church because it was like, oh, Chronicles of Narnia are like religious movies, and I like didn't really pick up on that when I watched them as kids.
I feel like that's the point too, is like C.S. Lewis is like, it's a story for children, but it teaches them about faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I respect C.S. Lewis's, you know, he wasn't being sneaky or anything. He was just, that was his, like, thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, first movie, kind of silly, but Tilda was great, and I don't know. It was, okay, another thing.
Yes.
So, obviously, there's reasons I can't stay in Narnia that we learn about later, or kind of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But, theoretically, they stay in Narnia. Because the first time, you know, after they win the battle, they stay in Narnia as king and queen, high king, high queen, king, queen, and they live to be adults, and then they accidentally go back through the closet, back into their childhood selves in the real world.
This is all in the first movie?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay. You don't see them grow up. It's just like they win the battle, and it's like, now we're crowned, and then like, cue to 50 years later, and they're like adults.
Yeah.
So they come back through the doors, and they're children again, and no time has progressed in the real world. since they went in. So my question is, theoretically, they could, and when they come back in, sorry, they're children again.
Yeah.
They've got, so theoretically, they could just stay, oh, I'm about to die. Go back to the real world.
Just hobble
go back through the closet and then reset.
Just a loop.
Eternal. Come back as children. And I know that's not how it works because Aslan's the one who controls when they get to come back in and he wouldn't let them play the system like that. But
yeah,
I don't know. That was a tangent.
It could have been better finessed, basically.
Yeah. Then moving on to the second movie.
Prince Caspian. My favorite.
Yeah, me too.
From
especially
what I
as a kid.
Yeah.
No, Prince Caspian was my favorite. That movie, as a child, like, made me weep. Weep with emotion. Like,
I don't remember
serious,
the plot
like,
at
heaving.
All.
There was the specific scene. Okay, the plot of the second movie. I feel like first
also,
movie.
Also, is Prince Caspian supposed to be like Jesus? And then.
No, Aslan is God. And then everyone else is just kind of, they're just people doing stuff.
Okay.
That's how I see it, kind of. But first movie, I feel like I don't need to cover. People know what happens to that one. Second movie is basically set 1,300 years after, in Narnian time, after they last were in there, the human kids.
Mm-hmm.
And Narnia has been colonized essentially by these people called the Telmarines, who are vaguely Mediterranean in ethnicity. They're all like super tan and have like kind of accents. Interesting choice.
Interesting.
So these are the bad guys. They took over. And they
ethnically
believe,
ambiguous villains.
Yeah. They believe that the Narnians are extinct, so all the mythical creatures, they're like, they're dead, we got rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
And Prince Caspian is heir to the throne, his dad disappeared, who was a king, evil uncle, try to get him to disappear so that the evil uncle's son can become the rightful heir, and then until he becomes the rightful heir, the evil uncle is the king.
Okay.
So he basically just gets rid of King tries to get rid of Prince Caspian so he can be king. Ends up in the woods, meets some dwarves, and is like, oh my god, you guys are real. That's crazy. And they're like, and then he blows a horn and he brings the children back. And he's like,
to help him?
Yeah, he doesn't know that's what he's doing, but that's what he does.
Okay.
And he's like, you guys are, no, he's not. He's actually like Spanish sounding. I'm not going to do that accent because I can't. But he's like, you guys are supposed to be the queens and kings of old. You guys are like so young. And they're like, We used to roam, blah, blah, blah. We used to reign over these lands. And there's, like, a lot of tension between him and Peter because he's, like, current prince and Peter's, like, old king.
Hmm.
But they basically work together to take over the Telmarine castle and bring back power to the Narnian people because they actually are Narnians. They're not extinct. They've just been living in the forests.
Yeah.
You know? This movie, yeah, there was a big emphasis on battle and, like, battle strategy. And
which I thought was really cool as a kid.
As a kid, I was like, oh, they're riding in on the griffins. This is crazy.
Yes, for Narnia.
Yeah, for Narnia. I was like, they're so smart. I thought their strategy was like, literally, I felt like I was watching Lord of the Rings as a kid.
Yeah.
And now, watching it, I'm like, this is so, I feel no emotions. scene specifically that made me want to weep my eyes out when I was a kid was, there's a Minotaur holding open the gate.
Oh.
And he's using all his might.
I remember
this. And then they shoot him with arrows, and he's like, "What?" He's like trying to save the day, and then he just falls. And then a bunch of the black centaurs are stuck inside, and you're like, "Oh, not the black centaurs!"
No. Are you saying black centaurs like they're like black humans that are horsed, or like they're just like the black or like black horses?
Like, no, they're black people. People. I mean, I went through this all on my Twitter this weekend, but I noticed because first movie, everyone's white and all the humanoid mythical creatures are white.
Yeah.
And then they introduce like the main, there's always a main centaur guy in the second
the
movie.
The leader of the friend group, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, oh, what happened to my ears? My ears just stopped working. Anyways, that's so strange. Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Black centaur guy. I was like, oh, he's black. Interesting choice. I'm like, I don't know. Because this was before, they did this way before all other fantasy and sci-fi was like, oh, I guess, not sci-fi. Star Wars had Lando or whatever. But
yeah,
I feel like it took until the Hobbit trilogy for them to be like, I guess there could be non-white people in Middle Earth, I guess. And then the prequel show for Loder is very diverse.
Mm-hmm.
But they were doing this
a
while ago.
since 2008.
Yeah, they're like, why not? They like saw this actor and they said he had a long, beautiful face like a horse, cast him as the head centaur. And then they were like, well, they'll just have his family will be black.
Yeah.
Because he'll have a bunch of kids. So there's some centaurs with cornrows and like locks and stuff.
I love that.
Which is...
Shout out Prince Caspian for spearheading representation in high fantasy films.
Yeah. I don't even know how we got here. That was the takeaway I mainly took from this movie. Combat scenes are not epic. They just be waving their swords around like that's supposed to do anything.
Yeah.
And in every film, things get dire. And then Lucy, who has the most faith in Aslan, maybe because she's the youngest, maybe she's just like that. Mm-hmm. She's always like, I believe in Aslan. He'll come back. And then he does.
That's pretty good Lucy impression.
Thank you.
Yeah.
He does because she believes in him. Mm-hmm. And he always kind of saves the day in one way or another.
True.
Which at first I'm like, this is boring because if things go bad, you just know Aslan's going to save the day in some way. But he's God. And C.S. Lewis is teaching you that faith. For those who are faithful, they will get rewarded.
Yes.
I think that's the message there.
Okay. And how does that message stack up for you today?
I mean, it's like a, I don't know, I'm not particularly religious, so.
If you like removed the religious aspect.
I mean, it's a good, faith is important. It's just like, and I'll get into it a bit more. In the third movie. Do you have anything to say about the second movie, though? I'm talking a lot.
No. Like... This has been really helpful because I haven't seen these movies in so long. But I really like the first two. So you just, like, describing them in detail for me, I can, like, visualize what you're saying. So thank you. But no other thoughts. Other than that, I'm, like, on the Wikipedia page. And, like, I think all three of the movies, or at least the first two, are written by, like, Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely, which if those names sound familiar at all, they're like most known for like writing like a bunch of Marvel movies.
Oh.
Like kind of like peak Marvel films. Like they did the Captain America ones.
Oh.
I think they're screenwriters on like the main Avengers ones too. So it's just kind of interesting that they kind of had a start here. Because they wrote Infinity War and Endgame. And they wrote, like, the first three Captain Americas.
There's always a Marvel tie-in every episode.
It's a Marvel tie-in.
Somehow. That makes sense. It checks out because it's just, like, a series of, like, manufactured epic moments that you're like, I feel nothing.
Yeah.
Which is very Marvel of them. And my last point about the second movie is that Caspian is a certified hottie.
I remember him being like hot.
I'm like, he's so cute. And then in the third movie, maybe because they realized maybe it was weird that they just made, I feel like they put him in a lot of fake tan or something in the second movie, because in the third movie he's way more pale, and I literally thought he was recast when I was a kid. I thought they got a new Caspian, but it's just him and pale with a beard.
Maybe the actor isn't like Spanish.
Ben Barnes. No, he's not. I think he's English.
So maybe they were just like,
they're like, maybe we shouldn't put him in Mediterranean face.
Yeah. Mediterranean face.
But
olive face.
Yeah, an olive face. third movie, Voyage of the Dawn Treader. So this is after they've gone from Disney to Fox.
Yes.
New team working on it. Lower budget. They're trying to make it fresh. And important thing to note. What time is it? We have 10 minutes. Okay. Important thing to note about this book. The book is more of like a vignette, a series of tales that are kind of more separate. So it's kind of hard to make it a cohesive movie.
Yeah. Do you know why they chose this one?
It has Lucy and Edmund in it.
Okay.
So I forgot to mention at the end of the second movie, the older kids, Peter and Susan, Aslan's like, you guys have learned everything that you can in Narnia, so you will not be coming back because you've learned your lessons and you can take them into your real life in the real world.
I.e. they were like too old to keep playing like teenagers or what?
No, that's what happens in the books.
Oh, okay.
That's like one of the core things in Narnia as well, is like you can't just keep coming back if you're not really from there.
Yeah.
Because that's just like life on easy mode, you know? He's like, mm-hmm. You learned your lessons here. Like people go there, they go on adventures, they learn about bravery and courage and sacrifice, and then they go back into the human world and take those lessons with them. Mm-hmm. So they're gone. Lucy and Edmund still get to come back one more time, which is what happens in the third movie. And I think they picked this movie because it has the same characters, because a lot of the books in the series have completely different, like, storylines, different characters, which is kind of hard to adapt to a film series.
Yeah.
So I think that's why they chose it.
Are there, like, less kids in the other books? Do you know?
No, there's children, but it's just different. Like, I can't remember. I read them so long ago, but they're completely, like, different. They're just completely different.
Yeah.
Same, like, overall, The Chronicles of Narnia is more about Narnia than it is about the characters or them being, like, coming-of-age stories.
Yeah.
Which is also why, especially in the second movie, the kids seem kind of hollow. Like, they're not very interesting characters. And in the third movie, new character they introduce is Eustace, which is their annoying cousin, Will Poulter.
Will Poulter.
And I think he has the most interesting kind of character arc since Edmund in the first movie, where he's just really annoying. He's like complaining all the time. He still thinks like this is a weird like fake dream. He's a hater. He sucks, and he's a coward. And he learns to enjoy himself and like be brave, and he just becomes a more pleasant person to be around. And you're like, oh, good for him.
Mm-hmm.
But in this one, they're on a boat because I don't know. There, Prince Caspian's on a boat with the Navy. And there's this weird evil mist that's doing weird stuff, and they have to go find the source of the mist and something about seven lords. I don't know. They just have to, like, do something to get rid of the evil.
Okay.
And on the way there, the series of unfortunate events happens.
Yes, that's where the vignette stuff comes in? Okay, cool.
And I thought, I don't know, it was, like, fine. I didn't think it was so bad, and it looked a lot better than the first movie for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Lucy can fight in this one. When did she learn how to fight? I don't know, because until now, they leave her at home every battle. This movie, she's wielding around a sword.
Maybe in like the 15 years that we don't see in the first
one. No, but in the real life, there. Yeah, but even in the second movie, she's also like visibly more of a child in the second movie.
Yeah.
So they just leave her at home for battle. But in the third movie, her dagger has become a sword. And she'd be fighting. I'm like, when did she learn to fight?
I gotta hit that, you know, strong action heroine.
Yeah. But I guess her whole thing the first two movies is she believes. And she believes in Aslan, and she's faithful, and she's nice.
Mm-hmm.
And in the third movie, she's like, I wanna be pretty. There's a whole thing about her being like, Susan's so pretty, I wish I was pretty like Susan. Which doesn't make sense.
So it was written by men.
Because just like with how good the casting is, I'm like, you guys look exactly the same.
Yeah.
She's just, you're a child and your sister is a woman. Like,
yeah.
Just, you'll grow up and you'll be her.
I feel like they could have given her a meatier, like, little dilemma to be going through in the movie.
Yeah. Like, I get that it's part in the books originally. And I get it. Like, she's like, wow, I can't wait till I can fall in love. But the casting is just so good as siblings that, like, there's scenes where her face morphs into her sister's face, and I'm like, you look the same.
Yeah.
Like, your good casting came to bite you in the butt because you look the same.
You look exactly the same.
Okay. But yeah, they go on blah, 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 and they save the day. Eustace turns into a dragon at some point, which is great.
I think I remember that.
I love Dragon Eustace because he doesn't talk. He just uses his eyes to be emotional, and he has a really good relationship with the little rat guy.
Reaper Cheep or whatever?
Yeah, sure. I don't remember his name.
Okay.
I believe that's probably correct. Also, Peter Dinklage is in the second movie. I did not recognize him at all.
Oh.
I was like, that's Peter Dinklage. Great, good prosthetics, I guess, but I did not recognize him. Anyways. And at the end of the movie, they save the day, blah, 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 blah. And then they're at the end of the world where Aslan's kingdom is.
Yeah.
And which is heaven, obviously. Mm-hmm. And Prince Caspian's like, is my dad in there? And he's like, well, you can only find out by going in, but you'll never be able to leave. Prince Caspian's like, well, I should stay back and do my duty as king, because that's the good decision to make.
Yeah.
And then the little mouse who's basically lived all his adventures, he's like, I'll go. I think I'm ready. He's ready to
Simon Pegg. I just saw
Simon Pegg. Who? Oh, yeah, that checks out. That's the like
from like Hot Fuzz,
like Run Fat Boy Run. Have you ever seen that movie?
No,
I love that movie. Anyways, okay. It's about a guy who runs a marathon to get back his girl.
Is he fat?
Not really. He really isn't. Okay. He's just unfit. Like, I don't know. Anyways. But yeah, he's like, I'm ready. He dies and goes to heaven. He doesn't die, but that's what's happening.
Yeah.
And then Lucy's like, will we never get to come back again? And Aslan's like, no, you've learned all your lessons and it's time for you to go. And she's like, will I never see you again? Will you be gone? And he's like, no, I exist in your world in another form. And I'm always I exist in your world in another form. And I'm always watching. You just have to learn how to connect with me and how to see me.
Read the Bible.
Because I'm God.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, Aslan. And then her and Edmund go back. And then Eustace is like, will I come back? And he's like, probably so, because Eustace is still pretty young and still has some learning to do.
Yeah.
So they all go back to the world. Also, the siblings are in America now. I don't know. That's, a separate thing. But I was just like, oh, okay, damn. That was really about God. And I don't know. That's my review of Narnia.
Okay. Rank. What would the ranking be?
I would say maybe 2, 2, 1, 3. But also 2, 3, 1. I don't think 3 is a good movie, but I just like Eustace. There's not a lot of character. The characters are not strong in most of these movies. Their motivations are Peter wants to be. Peter feels a responsibility to protect his siblings. Edmund's jealous that he's never the top dog. He's always second to Peter or second to Caspian.
Yeah.
Lucy is just good vibes.
She's just chilling.
Faithful/ I want to be pretty and date. Susan is just practical. She has nothing. They give her nothing. She's just I'm practical and I'm smart. And they're like, stop being so smart, Lucy or Susan. Anyways, Aslan is perfect. He's God. Yeah. Prince Caspian's just I hate my uncle. I love my father. That's his, I don't know.
It makes it simple for the kids.
Yeah, and it makes sense. It's very much a children's movie.
Yeah.
Which is basically the conclusion I drew. It's not a, it doesn't hold up emotionally as an adult. But I really wonder, I kind of want to read the books now, even though there are a lot of them. I want to reread them because I remember them being really interesting as a kid. And I don't know if it will be the same with the books as it is for the movie, where it's geared towards children with simple archetypes and allegories and stuff.
Do you think it has potential for a reboot or no?
I just don't think it's apt for adapting into film in a commercial way. It's just not I don't think it's meant to be a blockbuster kind of. It doesn't fit into the blockbuster mold very well.
Yeah.
Because it's not about the people as much as it is about Narnia and this world. So I don't know. I don't think it can be done well and on a large scale, which kind of these shows need to be, or kind of content needs to be, because there's so much money that needs to be put into a fantasy movie. People hated the Lord of the Rings sequel that came out recently, the show.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked it because
it's good.
I personally liked it. A lot of people don't. If you're a Lord of the Rings Stan and you know everything about you've read the Silmarillion and you know everything about everything in the universe, it isn't canonical because they didn't get the rights to those texts.
Mm-hmm.
So we're running out of time. Is there anyone after us? No, I think we're good. What was I saying?
Non-canonical Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. But it's really about bureaucracy, which I like. It's a lot of they know evil's here. They know they need to do something, but the whole show is just them the elves don't want to take action for this reason, and the dwarves don't want to take action. It's just literally people being something's bad happening. They're we can't really do anything about it.
Yeah.
Yet. And then obviously bad stuff happens, which I thought was interesting. Because it's
it's real life.
It's it's just really interesting. I thought it was interesting. A lot of people hated it. It flopped. It was the most expensive TV show ever, and it flopped, which is why I don't think you can't make people watch this stuff to get action and like drama.
Yeah.
I don't think people want to see like slice of life.
Like Lord fantasy, of the Rings. Yeah.
Which I want, but it's not economically viable. It doesn't make sense.
Okay, I'll check it out because that's a pretty good review in my book.
I don't know. It's like move slow. Like the big action doesn't happen until the end of the show, which is fine by me, mm-hmm. you know.
It's a slow burn.
Slow burn. And I think also the main character is kind of annoying. Like the main elf, I think. Is she supposed to be young Galadriel? Actually, I have no idea. No way. Whoever she's supposed to be. Maybe she is. Is she? I can't remember. But it's kind of, I don't know. She's kind of annoying, but
okay.
She's just very much like, I'm an elf and I'm better than you and I know everything. But it's interesting. I don't think we're going to get a second season, which kind of sucks because it flopped. But
second season next year.
It is. Oh, she is Galadriel. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Oh, and he is Elrond. Yeah, young Elrond and young Galadriel in it. For the most part, everyone else is different characters because they wouldn't live. This is like, this takes place like 2 ages before The Hobbit, I think. Like okay. A long time before. So it's kind of like the birth of, not the birth of Sauron, but like kind of how he comes to be and how Gondor comes to be. And not Gondor. Where do all the bad people live in Lord of the Rings?
I haven't seen it in so long. I'm not really
Lord
sure.
Lord of the Rings is so good. It's so good. I like think of, sometimes I go to sleep and I wake up and I go, oh, I should watch Lord of the Rings again because it makes me feel so good. And it's such an epic tale.
Maybe we can have a Lord of the Rings episode.
True. Yeah. It's a commitment though to watch all three.
Yeah. We'll see.
They're so good. But yeah, that's been my Narnia review.
That was good. I liked it.
Talk so much, but
no, I mean the show is for talking.
This is true.
Yeah,
and it was nice to revisit the old days. Any last words, Daniel?
No, succession supremacy. That's a Raven still good. Narnia still good, but not as good as we remembered. I think that's
it's still good for children, still good for not kids. For adults, which is fine. Things like that need to exist for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's, I don't know. I need to read the book to see if it's a bad adaptation though, because I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't remember because I read the books like 13 years ago.
Yeah, that's a while ago.
Yeah.
I think I'll probably rewatch at least one of the movies after this because now I'm like pretty interested.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, yeah. Thanks for listening. This has been Fan Club.
Sorry.
No, you're great. We'll be back next week talking about more things. And I believe our show is slowly coming to an end.
Yeah.
Because Daniel's going away. He's moving away. So I'm not sure when our last episode will be, but at some point we'll be having our last episode special or something
finale.
Of the sort. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, this has been Fan Club. Every Tuesday is at 2 p.m. Tune in next week. Have a great day. Bye.
Bye.